Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Murray. I have with me famous international freelance entrepreneur Steve Gordon.
I don't know who else showed up.
Mr. Ridiculous.
What's up, man?
And up and coming genius designer Cody Fenske.
Oh, thank you. Love.
Yes, yes. So Cody's looking for the full time job. We're just talking.
Yep.
What's his goal? What's his move? He wants to stay. You know, there's relationships here in an Omaha area.
He's been fortunate, I think, from what we were discussing. I think it's fortunate that, and he made some smart moves. You know, took a part time, took internships.
Yeah. Full disclosure, he's working here a couple days a week right now.
Right. And so I think two whole days. I think people get young designers get wrapped up in the sex appeal of what we do. Because what we do can be a very attractive sort of I play for work type of scenario in our careers. And we have a lot of fun at what we do. We're not digging ditches. I get that. So I think that we get wrapped up in the coolest job, the job with the toys, the job with, you know, like I said, you get to dress how you want.
And by toys, you also mean like the client.
I mean
like the guy with the cool
no,
client.
I mean literal toys.
Well, I will say we have that here. We have more toys per designer in his office,
the toys are winning.
The whole nation, I don't think there's a design studio that has more toys per person.
No, you win.
There's one and a half people here. We have a lot of toys.
It's like a private FAO Schwartz here. Yes.
How many Supermans are on that table?
I mean, there's probably like 80 Superman figures
all
alone.
Supermans. That's the answer. All the Supermans.
Not all. There's plenty more. Feel free to ship them straight here. But we do have, you know, like 80 Superman figures or something.
Yeah. And so I think that's, he's fortunate that he made decisions that got him here. And so I think he's on a good path.
Thank you.
No problem. I think others, we were just talking about in-house jobs. Two of the best jobs I had were in-house.
The best paying jobs I ever had were in-house.
Best paying. Steadiest. Yeah. Best benefits. Mm-hmm. All of the above. And I got lucky enough to actually have a good working relationship and good jobs, good managers, great coworkers.
And that's almost as important as the cash to work.
Very
like, if you don't have a good environment to work with, now you're going to want to get out of there.
And I've worked those jobs too. You know, without saying particular companies or names, I was in the basement of an old building sitting next to a copy machine printing things on fluorescent pink paper, and I had been told it was an art director position. So I took a turn that, in my mind, could have screwed my entire career up because of the misnomer or the misplacement of this position.
Oh, the job never sounds better than right before you take it.
Right.
Never.
Right. Never. Absolutely.
The peak of your job is the day before you start.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the old bait and switch once, too.
Oh, yeah. And it's tricky because you're stuck. If not for actual reasons, for reasons of propriety, for reasons of reputation, you don't want to just up and leave.
Now, when you're younger, I think it's like if you're right out of school, like you know, Cody, relatively out of school, you can move a couple jobs and people kind of get it. Sometimes
right.
It takes a while to get set
right.
out. But if you're like 5 years into a career
and you're still hopping,
you can't. It's like you take a job, you're like, I might have to stay here at least a year. Or
yep.
It's going to look terrible,
yep.
like terrible.
Yep.
And even if it's not on my resume because I hide it there, people know.
Yep.
Be like, oh, you mean Steve's worked 8 jobs in the last
right.
2 years?
Can you tell us why you were only here for a certain amount of time?
Like, we understand this one, we understand this one, we understand this one, but at a certain point, you're
yep.
job number 8, it looks like, oh.
Yep. So I just kept hopping and turned it into consultancy.
And then that's fine.
Right.
You lost a client? Well, we don't lose clients.
I've just been consulting this whole time. You didn't know?
Yeah. Yeah, the difference is if you're picking up freelance contract things and you're like, I was just contract. I didn't work there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, well, those are short-term. That's
right.
fine.
Oh, they're meant to be short-term.
Yeah, but sometimes I do worry, like, if I say that I work, like, a bunch of contract jobs and they're like, well, why didn't any of those people hire you? You know, like, if they liked working that much to hire on for 3 months.
That's when I worry. I don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think when you list those on your resume, you just listed that you worked for yourself. And that those were some of your clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they don't show up that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or I let that question just fall to the asker. Like, you know, if you're asking detailed questions like that, then you obviously either don't like my work, haven't seen my work, or I don't want to work with you because you're not paying attention to the right stuff.
Sure.
You're worried about that. And so that was a bold move I had to make early in my career is to start to discern that people are asking questions based on one of two things. They either want to know for real from you, or they have already brought a certain amount of baggage to the table, and they're imposing that on you.
Oh, because a lot of times the questions will be based on the person that just left there, that they just fired.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, these are issues that we were never concerned about until the last person, and now we think that everyone has the exact same problem.
Yeah, the tricky where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years is because the person before you got out at 2.
Sure.
And they were way too ambitious to sit in this job.
Yeah.
What is the proper answer to that? Because if you say, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? If you said in the exact same position,
right,
then they're like, oh, you're not
understand.
Motivated at all.
Right.
And if you say, I see yourself myself in your job, like,
right.
like
yeah,
how, what is,
yeah,
the, what is the proper?
It's a trap, man. I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I could have figured that out. When people ask me that question, I never know how to answer. Because it's such a weird question. Like, you're asking me 3 to 5 years.
I think that's where you flip it on them. You answer the question with
where do you see yourself?
Right.
You
or
go,
change the
you
subject
go,
entirely.
You know? Go a politician and start talking about what a calendar means and what calendar system they're on.
Right.
And why we even use the calendar system at
right.
all.
You get super esoteric. You know, 3 to 5 years? By whose measure?
Yeah, what's a year, really?
What's
even?
A year? What's a year? Where do you see yourself, sir? You always just put sir on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're being a respectful jackass.
Spoken like two people who haven't had an actual job in like 15
right.
years.
Forever. Don't use those tips, kids.
Yeah, look that up. I'm sure you can Google what the proper answer to that is. I'm sure there's a couple that are much better than what we'll give you.
Yeah.
Which is, means I'm going to Google after this.
There we go. Going to look it up on the Google machine.
That's fantastic. All right, we'll be right back with Steve and Cody.
Conversation was...
No, well, we were just talking about what we were going to talk about, and so Cody mentioned, like, the benefit
like,
of trends, and I was like, oh, the benefit of friends. That sounds good. Let's talk
I
about that.
We never talked about friends before on the show.
I don't think so. I don't. Well, first off, I don't like anybody, and nobody likes me.
Yeah.
Right. So...
They're baggage, man. They get all emotionally attached, and then you got to kill them.
Yeah, I understand that enemy thing, but friends, I don't get it. Like,
right.
what is the advantage of having friends in this industry?
You know what's funny? That's actually a good topic. Because on a long enough timeline, you'll find that most of those allies or friends are such Benedict Arnolds. Like, or turncoats. I've been stabbed in the back by so many people. Who
really?
Are,
in the design industry, you're talking ad people.
The thing is, in this area, there's a blurry line.
Okay.
Half the designers in this area work for an ad agency.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of jobs in there.
Ad people are cutthroat. And if you work inside that industry, even as a designer, you start to take on their traits.
Oh. Right.
It's tricky. I haven't had studio... That's a good point. I haven't had studio people be as cutthroat or self-serving.
Yeah, they're the little guys, no, and they're not like...
Right. And you probably work with them. You probably share projects and whatnot.
Oh, yeah,
like,
they'll freelance, they'll be like,
yeah.
you know, do work for us,
mm-hmm.
we know you won't take our stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Ad people won't work with other ad people, per se. Like, the big guys.
I have had...
And I'm sure this is generalizing.
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's a bit of a broad brush, but...
No, because,
yeah.
you know, people that I've met in the ad industry seem to, like, all be friends, you know, for the most part. But I don't know what happens when they
you will
turn
learn,
back around.
You will definitely learn the extra category of acquaintances now. There are acquaintances. There are friends.
Sure, sure.
And it's kind of like having that friend. If you want to, are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Because I was going to say, I don't want to say this and not get it on tape. Okay, so it's like having conditional friends. Everyone has categorical friends. And it's only when you call that out that someone's feelings get hurt. But I'm sure you see people at your favorite bar or your favorite coffee shop, and you'll say hello. You might even discuss your day. You know, you exchange information and communicate, but you don't see them outside of that. They're a conditional friend, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's like that. Acquaintances are conditional friends. They have something in common with you, but it's usually attached to a category.
Sure, like you're going to see them at the coffee shop or the bar, but you're not going to the bar or coffee shop with them.
Right.
They may live across town. You just don't
You just don't get to them.
Yeah, there's
and
nothing
so,
wrong. Like
so
maybe
you
if you live next door, you'd be best friends.
Right, but you can't have commonalities if there's not a common reoccurrence happening.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of friendships start, especially when people are interested in the same thing. They'll start working and collaborating together. And then there's, like, you know, fluidity in their conversations because now they're, like, they're working on something together.
Right.
Friendship starts, right?
Or even just mutual respect, you know?
That's true, too.
When you,
yeah.
when you see people, like, Don and I don't see each other every day, but I consider him a friend. We've been on road trips together. We've done all types of things.
How did we fit in that Honda Civic?
Dude, that was seriously clown car.
There were four of us.
Four of us plus luggage. For a week, for what was it, like 4 days?
That was an 11-hour drive.
11-hour drive for a four-day trip. And this saying it was a compact car was being generous to compact cars. That thing was tiny.
Yeah, it was a Civic.
And we were luggaged up. Oh, man, that was funny.
So who sat on whose lap?
For some reason, I think, Steve, what are you, 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3".
Everybody's knees were about 1 inch from the dash
mm-hmm.
or the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's knees were touching. So that's the only reason we think I made it. Like Steve pushed the seat back far enough to where his knees were just not touching the
yeah.
dash.
Yeah.
And then behind him, Nate, his knees were just barely
uh-huh.
not touching the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a proximity rule. Like, as long as I don't feel cramped, I can ignore that something is just about close to touching me.
So everybody had the courage not to do the man-spreading thing, right?
Oh, no, we didn't. There was no man-spreading.
Well, there's also no room. You
yeah.
know, in the back seat,
you
we
just,
had stuff between us. We also
yeah.
pull luggage.
And we slept. We swapped spots. That was crazy. That was a feat in and of itself. That was design.
Yeah, and that's how friendships are made. Long car trips with realizing, oh, Steve will give me an inch of legroom.
It's
yeah.
true. Yeah, you know, it's little life courtesies. These guys won't fart in the car. I appreciate that, boys.
Oh,
or
I was
least,
just ripping
or at least
them.
Put it in the cushions.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think, but then again, there's like I said, there's that acquaintance part where you might see them at events, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You might see them at an AIGA meeting or something, and that's it. And that's cool, but don't expect that person has any loyalty to you if it comes down to a project or a job or those kind of things.
Sure.
When you have a personal attachment, I've definitely had people look out for me. I've had people call and say, hey, where was this a client you were talking to? Something they said sounded familiar. If it is, I'll steer clear, or do you mind if I give them a call? Those are friends.
Yeah, that's courtesy. Like, that's, like, genuine, like, looking out for
right.
not only their just their best interests.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. So,
that's
I think...
That's the kind of you want to keep in your life.
And so I think to the initial point of the benefit of having friends in this industry, I think is a simple calculation of knowing the difference between friends and acquaintances. Having acquaintances in this industry really doesn't matter much.
Oh, I think it helps because you need people for overflow work. You need
right.
people to brainstorm with. You
right.
need you need that energy.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like you can't give them your best work because they're just acquaintances. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right. You don't know what's going to happen beyond that point. So acquaintances have their place. Friends have their place. And ultimately, you have to remember you're doing business. And the old adage of, you know, business with friends or family,
yeah.
not mixing, that's a very true thing.
Yeah.
And
so,
and some friends you have, you just would never do business with.
Right, right. You, yeah.
you know
there's family and friends that you just know better. Like,
yeah.
You're good. Like, I really enjoy what you're doing over there. You're good, you know. But
I think there's a student down the street that'll make your logo for a lot cheaper.
Right.
Yeah.
And we won't even have to like have this discussion.
And there's
go
no money
that.
Or anything
right.
like that, you know.
Right. But the best friends, the friends I've had in this industry are quick to pay you, quick to look after you.
Yeah.
They want to see you benefit and do well as much as they're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Those are real friends, and those do exist. Those
yeah,
do exist.
Especially in this town.
Yeah. Yeah. But then... The acquaintance part, that's what I've been bitten by the acquaintance bug in this town because it's a small town. So the same thing that makes friends good in this town makes acquaintances very dangerous because the lines can blur. We're always at the same functions and things.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to discern who's got a vested interest in you personally, career-wise. And who's an outside observer that you maybe bumped up against a few times,
mm-hmm.
but they really don't care if you do well or not, as long as they do well.
Mm-hmm.
It's all stuff to look out for.
And you're in the boat that I was in just a few years ago, where you just had a kid, congratulations.
Thank you.
But now all of a sudden you just don't go to events, and then you find out right away, because the acquaintances you just don't Right. You don't go to the events. You don't see them.
Right. Yeah. Or when you do run into them, conversations are forced. Things are weird. Like I said, we haven't seen each other in probably a year.
Close to it, yeah.
But we're good. We're going. Yeah. We pick right back up where we left off because we are friends. Acquaintances struggle to communicate for lack of time or lack of commonality.
Sure, you might not know, like, how long is this conversation about to last? I have the patience to, you know, schmooze you a little bit until, like, I figure out something good we can talk about, and will I even find that, you know?
See, you get
That's, like, that's friendship. That's not, like, necessarily business relationship. And in the design world, that's just everywhere, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it'll happen.
But I hope, because those people also, you need them, because those are the people that, when you're out of a job, mm-hmm. or they're out of a job, like, you don't know, a lot of these jobs just don't get posted. They're the ones who refer them to you.
The ones that you want probably don't get posted.
Mm-hmm. You know. And name recognition helps. Acquaintances carry your name.
Yes, they do.
You know, they were birds of a feather type of thing. You know, you have your career in common, so that's good. And if you're doing good work, people are aware of you.
Yeah.
So your name recognition and your own personal brand awareness is not always carried by friends. That's where acquaintances are important. That's a good point. Your friends won't brag you up. There's oftentimes your friends are the ones that can jokingly knock you down. You know, friends and family aren't really the ones who are, in general, quick to pat you on the back. You're doing such a good job. They're more, you know, give you a raspberry and kick you in the butt. Like, get out of the way, kid. You know, because that's what friends do. We all know it.
Yeah, sure.
Know?
The only ones that like, can really do that to you without you getting pissed.
Right. Acquaintances, however, are the ones that are most likely carrying your accolades because that's the point of entry.
Sure. They're like, and that's maybe what they compare themselves
right.
to you for. Like, is
right.
your accolades? What has he done or
right.
he or she done? Or
yeah, your respect level comes from the things you've done.
Uh-huh.
Or your name recognition.
Sure, yeah.
You know, but my friends and family could care less.
Be honest, your family doesn't even know what it is you do.
They still can't
like,
get a beat on
it. Like, they still don't.
Yeah, they still can't get a beat on. My mom swears I'm rich. Everyone else...
Well, you're wearing your own clothing line right now. I mean, you got a couple patches on the
yeah.
jacket, so you must be rich if you own your own clothing line, right?
You must be. You pretty much have lunch with Diddy all the time. Yeah, it's not. It has nothing to do with the fact that as a creative, I know how to find this stuff and make my own stuff.
Yeah.
No, you gotta be rich. Yeah, so family isn't one to really laud you like that because they don't really know what you do.
No.
Yeah, they'll do it for a while. Like when you're, you know, around my age and younger, whenever you do something great, they're like, "Oh, good job, fantastic!" You know,
yeah, graduation day,
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then like any small accomplishments in your career, whatever you do, they'll pat you on the back. But then like. When you're 30 and you do the same thing, they're like, that's your job. That's where you're supposed
yeah.
to come on.
What do you do again? Yeah, you'll get the squinty-eyed question,
yeah.
high voice. What is it you do again?
All right, well, we're going to be back with one last segment with Steve and Cody. So the only thing your parent knows about you, I guess, for like Steve, is that you're like on the board of directors now, right?
Oh,
you're like the
God.
Man. Now they think you're famous.
Why does this stuff keep happening? yeah, I'm on the Omaha Chamber Board of Directors, Greater Omaha Chamber Board of Directors.
You went from working for the man to like now being the man.
That's
like,
scary.
That is.
That's a very real
now.
Thing.
How about that?
That's a very real thing. It gives me a bit of anxiety because you are sitting in this room of, let's just face it, they're kind of kingmakers. You know, they discuss topics that move the entire city forward, not just one single entity or business or person, but, you know, politics, financials. There's a lot that gets discussed that can feel like it's over your head at first until you realize that, well, I know about this stuff, so I'll contribute. But it is a bit daunting to, we're all that 12-year-old kid who grew up to do something. And that 12-year-old kid is still in there, and he's always lost. He's always wondering what he's doing in some place.
So like, I'm on the Architectural Foundation of Nebraska, and I've been on boards before that. But when they called or emailed and asked if I wanted to be on the board, the first thing I thought was, like, what do I have to offer?
Right.
Like, because right. I'm like, I don't want to just go there.
Yeah.
So did you have the same thing? Like,
oh, absolutely. It's like, why me? And I even...
Yeah, because that you're on a board where it's, like, heads of companies.
Fortune 500 companies
yeah.
here in Omaha. Anybody that built a tower downtown or has offices in one of our skyscrapers or you know, those downtown hub businesses, yeah, those are the guys. You recognize them by their company names right away as they're doing the roll call. And yeah, it can it was the first time they brought it to me, I actually pushed back a bit. I said, you know what you get with me. It's not like I'm hard to find. So check the website. Check the social media. You know what you get with me.
Yeah.
So, if this is a ceremonial, you know, tapping on the head to say, we want you involved, I'll take the compliment and we can get out of here clean. If you really want me on the board, then you have to know what you're getting into, just like I have to know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, I made him tell me, like, what would I bring? Like, what do you expect? Because mm-hmm. if I'm just
sure,
there
just chop
and I'm the only non-architect on the board, which mm-hmm. I am, like, is it worth having me? And they start,
right.
so they, I made them sell it to me a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Because otherwise.
They asked me, they want you on there, so they're going to, you know. And
yeah.
You better hope they say something about, like your style, you know. You hope they would, or some skill that you clearly have.
Yeah. Well, I was just making sure that, like, is what you want from me something I can provide for your
yeah.
board?
Right. Because if not, then it's a setup for me. Because
Steve's not going to build a tower downtown.
No.
I don't think. Maybe.
No.
Maybe one day.
No, I'll build a Lego
all
tower.
Those
millions. I'll use clever perspective to make it look as big as the rest.
I'm happy about that. We'll take some clever photos. And
exactly.
Make it
it's all about angles,
fashion.
Man. That's what
oh,
you
yeah.
learn. It's all about angles.
Graphic design is just smoke and mirrors.
That's
angles,
it.
So.
That's it. So, yeah, I don't... it's been an interesting and good experience so far. And their response, the person who nominated me, and I guess you have to go through it. It's a real closed-door sort of process.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where they're voting upon it. They're yaying and naying it all up and down the line. And so... you go through a few different rounds that you don't even know about. Like, you're getting approved, and you're not there to...
Oh, it's the pre-approval that you don't even know exists.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so they said all those things that I was worried about are exactly why they wanted me there to do what I do. I'm like, okay, remember you said it. So it's been good. It feels... it's a new chapter. You know, just we're in January, brand new year. My stint started in this month. We had our meeting and our first meeting, and so it's all a new experience. But it definitely makes you reevaluate. You start to think more big boy thoughts for sure, because you want to bring what they supposedly saw in you to the table.
Yeah, and boards are great. I mean, especially if you can contribute to them, because they are you get out of them what you put into it.
Right.
Like my first year on the AIJ board. When I used to be on that here,
right.
I didn't put much into it and I didn't think much of it. But right. then as I got involved, I was like, oh, wow, this is like, you learn a lot, you get a lot out of it, but
yeah.
it's direct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy, but it's been good. And the hope is, like anything, I mean, I'm always aware of my community and not just, you know, that's not just where you live, but also the people you're around. We just talked about friends. For a creative to be on a board of pretty traditional business people. And there's really only a couple of us that are in there, myself and another guy, Jason Fisher. It's interesting because it opens the door. If I do a good job, hopefully the next person that gets my seat is another creative type, is another creative professional, should I say. Most people are creative in some way, but creative professional, we earn money with our creativity.
Well, to me, it shows that the city anyway here now sees creatives. If they put someone like that on that board, they see it as value.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. You're representing all of us, so no pressure.
It's tough, man.
No pressure.
It's tough.
Well, Steve, Cody, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having
always.
Me. I'm always
so
in. Always love to come over here.
All right, we'll be back in a couple weeks with the Superb Owl 9.
Woo, that's
yeah.
right.
Next episode will
that's
be our...
That's right. Get down.
Look at some advertisements, stuff like that.
I love the Superb Owl, man. I live for that every year.
All right, we're bringing in much of the same crew, so look forward to it. We'll see you guys all in a couple weeks.
You got it.
Good.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Meary is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.